But then it would rain, and that thing would flow. I mean, it would flow 8, 10, 12 feet deep sometimes. And after the storm was gone and the flow stopped, there would be these puddles. And these puddles would be, you know, 10, 15 feet in diameter, and there'd be several of them here and there. You could still walk around the creek, but there were these puddles. And as a little boy, at about the age of 6 maybe or 7, I used to love to go out there and catch those little frogs about that long. And you'd see the tadpoles swimming in the water, and then you'd see the ones that are starting to develop the legs, and you'd see the ones that have the legs, and they hop out. And we'd catch those things, and we'd take them home and put them in a little jar full of water and feed them dead flies and stuff. And I just had the best time playing with those frogs. But when I was a little older, my stepfather would take us to Oklahoma, and we would go out in the country, and there was a big, big pond, 100 yards in diameter probably. And we'd walk around that pond with a .22 rifle and shoot frogs. And these weren't little frogs. These were frogs. And then what would we do with them? Anybody know? Eat them. You got it. You take those frog legs. Talk about fresh frog legs. That was a big deal. And my job, when I was out there, by then I was probably 9 or 10 years old. My job was to carry the dead frogs. Yuck. Yuck. And he'd grab them by the hind legs, and I was not very tall, and the frog was so long that he had to hold them up or the head would drag on the ground. And we'd get a dozen of them easy, and then we'd go back and cook frog legs. Frogs are slimy. Frogs are interesting to look at, but they're not a whole lot of fun to touch. But can you imagine having frogs in your bed? Can you imagine opening your cabinets in your house and finding frogs in your cupboard? And you're making bread and you're kneading the bread and the frog hops in the bread. And they're everywhere. Well, that's what's going to happen in Exodus chapter 8. Then, oh boy, I hate to even mention this because I know what's going to happen. We had a youth activity one time in Salt Lake City. It was an end-of-year banquet. We're all dressed up and wearing suits and stuff. And I was I wasn't the speaker. I was the fellow that was just conducting the service. And so they're all coming in, and we're going to have this nice dinner, and the food's all ready and everything. And I thought, well, I'll tell a few jokes when I start. And I found some jokes on the internet about lice. And the funny thing is, as I began to tell them, by the time I finished, everyone was scratching their heads. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had lice or not. Every now and then in our school in Maryland, we would have lice. And there, Mrs. Schaefer knows all about lice. She knows how to spot them. She knows how to. And we would have to treat those things because we had 300 or 400 students in our school. And some of them would get lice, and then it's a big deal. Lice are no fun. Flies. There's a lake. Well, there used to be a lake. Have you heard lately the Salt Lake may dry up? The Great Salt Lake in Salt Lake City. When we lived there back in, we got there in 86. We lived there until 91. And when we were there, it was so full that they spent millions of dollars building some pumps to empty it out into another place so that it wouldn't overflood the road. Now, it's so low, they're afraid it may dry up completely. It's only average depth of the Salt Lake, so what, 8 feet, something like that? It's a real shallow lake. But when you go out to the Salt Lake, used to be, in the right time of year, it looked like there was fog on the ground about that high. And you'd look out there and you'd think, what is that? It was flies. Millions of them. You did not want to go there that time of year because you'd be covered in flies and crawling on you and just really bad. So I think if you think about frogs and lice and flies, we would all agree they're not deadly, but they're really uncomfortable. And they're disgusting. And they're annoying. And when you are plagued by them, like the Egyptians are going to be here in this chapter, you're going to be very uncomfortable. You're going to be miserable. You're going to wish it would go away. And these plagues, I remember the first plague was Moses turned the river into blood. Now you got the frogs and the lice and the flies. These are not deadly plagues, but they're very uncomfortable ones. Now, Just simple illustration before we read the passage. Sin, as it begins, is uncomfortable. It causes you to be uncomfortable. Then ultimately it'll bring death. But we're not to the death part yet. That's coming. But these plagues that we're going to see today on the Egyptians are uncomfortable. And God's trying to, let me say it very accurately. God wants them to know that He is God and not their false gods. And if you weren't here, as I began this 2 weeks ago, talking about the Egyptians, they thought the river, because of the Nile River, we're doing great. Moses turns it into blood. And then they thought, we have this fertility goddess who, by the way, had the figures of her, their fertility goddess, the figures of her, she had a head like a frog. Frogs were sacred to the Egyptians. They weren't supposed to kill them. Oh, boy. And then the dust of the ground, which was, of course, the soil that they grew their crops in, the lice came from that, and the flies come from the air. And so God is showing the Egyptians something that we are going to focus on this year. You see anything new in the auditorium? Anybody see anything new in the auditorium? We got the Christmas decorations taken down. Thank you for those folks. Yes, ma'am. It is. New verse. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Who's your God? Well, where's your hope is the same question. Are you happy? Because if you have, it says right there in the Bible in Psalm 146:5, it says, if the Lord is your God, and that's where your hope is, he's going to help you and you're going to be happy. Does that mean you'll never have trouble? No. Does it mean you'll never have opposition? No. What it does mean is that when you see the trouble and you see the opposition, above that you see your God. That's where your hope is. Someone says, I hope we have a good year this year. My question would be, based upon what? A lot of folks just want luck. Luck. I hope I'm lucky. I used to have a boss, and he said, I'd rather be good than lucky. Luck's a false god. Luck is chance. Luck is not the God that we worship. Our God is real. So anyway, back to where I'm coming from. The Egyptians had the wrong God, and the Lord's teaching them that. So with all that introduction, let's look at the handout and at the passage. I'm in Exodus chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into thy house, into the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And think about this. Look at the introduction of the handout. We know the wages of sin is death, don't we? But there's much discomfort on the path of sin that leads to that death. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. In the second and the third and the fourth plagues upon Egypt, they're not life-threatening, but they were sources of great discomfort and misery. Too many frogs, lice, and flies. People in the lost world don't realize that salvation brings a comfort that sin forbids. 2 Corinthians 1:3, God is the God of all comfort. Proverbs 13:15, the way of transgressors is hard. Those are your choices there. So Exodus chapter 8 just reminds us of the misery and suffering that sin brings. And folks, the world, not knowing what we know, doesn't understand. They do understand, but not as much as we do, because aren't you glad now that you're saved, things are so much better? You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any more money. My health didn't change, so on and so forth. Better sometimes, and I'll go back to the money thing in a minute, but God can make things better because, first of all, and I should have looked the number up, do you understand how many billions of dollars people spend each year on what we call mental health care? Why do they have to spend all that money? How many drugs are there out there to treat depression? Now, I understand there is a physiological, and when I use that term, I'm talking about a medical, chemical, biological reason for things that happen in your body. For example, when you get sick, it will cause you to be what we call, I hate the word, but, depressed. It's not the same thing as the kind that the world deals with sometimes. But the fact is, folks, the world hopes in things that are the wrong God. And then when that fails them, it's a very sad thing, isn't it? And you might not remember the way it was when you were lost because you've been saved for a long time and now you know the Lord as your Savior and you see things differently. But sin brings misery. And that's kind of what we see here as we zero in on this. The frogs. Let's talk about the frogs just a little bit. The plague of frogs is preceded by an opportunity once again to hear the message of the Lord. Now remember, the first time Moses came to Pharaoh, he said the very same thing. And what did Pharaoh answer? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. Well, you have two ways of meeting the Lord. You can believe his word, or you can learn the hard way. So Pharaoh has asked the question. He's honest about it, but he's also foolish not to believe anyway. We'll get into that later. But Pharaoh says, I don't know who the Lord is. And so Moses says, well, let me show you what God can do by showing you what your God can't do. You see, the world's got gods like money, like education, like talent, they call it, which is self, making yourself your God, or things like that. And the world trusts in those. I came back to the question, why would we have a good year this year? Because we have a good God. Amen? I just can't get past what I saw this in the Bible where the Lord lets the disciples out of jail. You know, the devil's going to try to fight against what God's people do to serve him. And God's greater than that. God can deliver us. Amen? So anyway, Pharaoh's got the wrong God. The Egyptians have the wrong God. God's going to show them some discomfort. When you witness to somebody, you might remind them of something, and that is that we have a God. He may not make us rich, but he provides our needs. He may not give us perfect health, but when we have illness, he comforts us and he cares for us and he sometimes heals us. We may have situations that are difficult, but we have a God that can take us through those things. And it all comes back to that word hope right there. What do you hope in? I don't hope we have a good year because of luck or because I can see circumstances that look good or the bank account is full or the whatever. I do hope because we have a God that's great and not limited. Anyway, back to these frogs again. Sin has effects in unexpected places. It reaches farther than we expect. Does that make sense to you? Someone says, I think I'll smoke. My stepmother smoked cigarettes her whole life. And guess what? She died of lung cancer. And she was a Christian, and she and I went back and forth, and she kept telling me, oh, the Lord doesn't care so much that I smoke. Yeah, he does care. But the fact of the matter is, it's bad for you. And she didn't expect to die of lung cancer. But there are other things that sin does that you might not recognize. I was reading an article yesterday on the internet about this fellow that drank, and he suddenly found himself dependent upon alcohol. My wife works at Valley Mental Health. She's a health unit coordinator over there. Wow, that was exciting. And she deals, sir? Okay. And she deals with people all the time that have taken so many drugs that their mind is not wired right anymore. And they can't see things right. And they don't understand things. And what was it yesterday? The fellow was building a barricade out of chairs on the table or something like that. And she comes up home with a story like that every day. And it ends the same way. Those people don't succeed. They lose. And the sad thing is, if they hadn't taken the drug or whatever, they wouldn't be there. Some of them, different story, but the drug situation. Sin has effects on your life that you don't expect. You know, it's a sin, you say, well, frogs are cute. Yeah, when they're in the aquarium and you're standing back looking at them, that's nice. But when they're in your bread, and when they're in your bed, and when they're in your oven, and when they're where you don't want them to be. Now, I just remind you, believe me, sin will go places in your life you don't want it to go. Sin will affect things in your life you don't want it to affect. So, oh, I can handle it. Yeah, try to handle a bunch of frogs. They're kind of slippery, aren't they? And they get away from you. What are you guys doing back there? Okay, that's fine. I'll just talk loud, okay? So what we have is an example of sin. Frogs are kind of slimy and in the wrong place. They're very unpleasant, and that's what's happening here. Now, it was the power of God. When you see the rod, just remember, God's power. It was God's power that brought this to pass in verses 5 and 6. And then the magicians can duplicate this miracle, and so what? Got a few more frogs, and what difference does that make? The magicians can't get rid of the frogs, can they? The world says, oh, we have some other things that we'll offer you that'll help your sin. It's more sin, but you can't take the sin away. God can. Pharaoh was troubled by these frogs. Look at verse 8. It says, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. Oh, whoa, hey, wait a minute. This is interesting. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. Well, let's turn the river into blood. Let's give you a bunch of frogs. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, hey, wait a minute. There's some power here. Amen? I got to ask you a question. Does our God have power? Amen. That's easy to say. Does he exhibit that power through you and I? Amen? Yes, the power, by the way, is from the Word of God. But yes, God has power. Pharaoh says, hey, wait a minute here. Your Lord is doing some things. Entreat him. Verse 8, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. Now watch this. And I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. What? Yeah, that's a nice thing to say. I will let the people go. Is he going to let the people go? No. He will eventually, yeah. But after the frogs? Nope. We still got some lice and flies to come. No, he's not going to let them go. Have you ever known somebody that made promises to God and didn't really mean to keep them? Is that kind of silly? Does God know if you're serious or not? Don't lie to God. God knows. I've heard people, lots of stories, people in danger, and they say to God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And then God delivers them, and then they go back on their promise. And we're like children. We just shouldn't do that, but sometimes we act that way. Now Pharaoh says, I'll let him go because I want something. And then when he gets what he wants, now he's happy again and he says, oh, never mind. I would just remind you, when you got saved because you knew that Christ died for your sins and that you were a sinner on your way to hell. But you didn't get saved so you can keep on living in sin. You didn't get saved so you can keep on living in sin. You know, you didn't get saved so that you could go ahead and do what you want and get away with it. You got saved so that you would stop doing what you don't want and make God change your wants. Amen? And so anyway, this is not just an idle promise, I hope, when you got saved. So Pharaoh says, I'll let the people go. Moses said unto Pharaoh in verse 9, glory over me. That's an interesting statement. It just means you make the choice there. Let me know what you want to do. Is kind of the way he says that. And he says, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses that they may remain in the river only? Now, why would he do that? Simple, obvious reason would be this. If I said to Pharaoh, when do you want to take the frogs away? And Pharaoh says tomorrow morning, and then the frogs stay all night and disappear in the morning. You can see God did it. If they just kind of disappear slowly or at some random time, well, maybe they just happen to go away. So he's just using this to reinforce that God's the one doing this. So Pharaoh in verse 10 says, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that's Moses talking there, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. There is none like unto the Lord our God. Is there none like to the Lord your God? If there's none like the Lord our God, then my suggestion would be, he's the God to have. If there's another something out there better, but there's not, is there? There's none like unto the Lord our God. And let's just go ahead and expand that sentence a little bit. There's none, comma, thinking about all the Egyptian gods, comma, like unto the Lord our God. Your God, your gods can't do this. Your gods aren't like our God. And the world's gods are not like the God that we have. So Moses agrees, and he wants them to know there's none like the Lord their God. That's that theme in Exodus, once again, knowing who the Lord is. The frogs are going to go back to the river in verse 11. He says, the frog shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord, verse 12, because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. I hate to say this, but I've got to. When you have a land, a nation that is covered in sin, it stinks. I hate to say it, but it does. Sodom and Gomorrah, it stinks. And we need to pray for God to heal our land. Can we do that? Is God that big? I don't know what God's going to do, but I have a right to ask him, Lord, send revival to our land. Amen? A lot of the time what we say in the back of our mind is, it's too late. That's not likely. That's too hard. I don't know. Let's just ask God to send revival and see what he does. Amen? And it's not an experimental prayer. It's a prayer of faith. Sure, we'd like to make... it'd be nice if at the end of 2023, let's see, Christmas next year, what is it, on a Monday? Is that right? I think Monday, which means New Year's Day will be on a Monday as well, I believe. On the Sunday, the last Sunday of the year in 2023, wouldn't it be great if we all got together and said, look what God did this year. Amen? Not just in our church, not just in our life, but in our nation. Say, oh, that's too hard, Pastor. I don't think so. I think God's big enough. The land stank, and you can imagine... I'm trying to remember, I know what dead fish smell like, and I can imagine all these frogs piled up in heaps, rotting, and anywhere you go, it just stinks. And so now, verse 16, the lice. Ugh, I hate to even talk about this. The Lord said unto Moses, now by the way, there's no interlude here. He didn't go back to Pharaoh. He doesn't warn Pharaoh again. He doesn't say anything about that. It just says in verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with the rod, that's the power of God, and smote the dust of the earth, but it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so, okay, whatever, with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. That's interesting. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, I like verse 19, don't you? This is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. His heart, he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. If I was going to go out in my backyard and move a big rock. Let's see, how big a rock can I move? Okay, that big. I can pick a rock that big, okay? I would not use one finger. I would use both hands, and probably when I got it off the ground, I'd probably cradle it like that, and I'd carry it wherever I need to, and I'd drop it. Because I need my arms and my hands to have enough strength to lift that rock. Can you imagine the thought is, what can God do with one finger? Amen? The Lord Jesus touched people sometimes, and they were healed. A finger. The theory here is, or the thought here is, God's strong. This is the finger of God. God has touched us. And so I got to ask you the question, are the magicians learning? Yeah. People are starting to get the idea a little bit more. These folks have a God. Wouldn't it be great this year, step one, if you and I have the right God? Step two, if other people can see that. Amen? You have a big God, don't you? What can he do with one finger? And why couldn't people see that? Step one's got to take place. We have to have the right God before step two's going to happen. But now, let's hope this year God would let people see how big our God is, because, first of all, we have the right God, and secondly, because he's strong. So, the magicians get the idea that this is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto him, as the Lord had said. A couple of things, look at the bottom of page one, if you would, on the handout. The Egyptians had a god of the desert whose name was Set. Now, if you've ever been, you've seen pictures. They got a lot of sand in Egypt. There's a lot of dust. Lots of it. Anywhere you go. We were in Cairo for about 24 hours. And they took us out to this place, well, several places. Everywhere you went, sand, 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 everywhere. You got a lot of dirt. They have soil that the river had deposited that was great for growing crops, and they were very happy about that. And so they had this god named Set, who was a god of the desert. And, of course, the desert protected them from invading armies. We talked about that already. So God judged this false god. It had a lot of dust. It became lice. Lice are a tiny little insect that cannot hop or fly. They crawl. They like to live on the hairy parts of a body. They cause terrific itching. They bite, which causes sores that bleed, and then you scratch those things. Page two. They're parasites. They feed on blood. They're very hard to get rid of. They spread easily. They're very irritating to anyone who has them. The plague comes without warning. It's an answer to Pharaoh's hard heart in verse 15. The magicians can't replicate it, and they admit this is the finger of God, but Pharaoh remains unimpressed. So just more discomfort. And now I got 8 minutes to talk about flies. Oh, good, flies. What an exciting topic. Verse 20. Lord said unto Moses, now again, no interlude, no warning, nothing. Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. So now here is the warning, I'm sorry, and that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into the houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. Now, let's stop right there. Anybody here, I have had this experience, you're eating food, and you find a fly in it. And all of a sudden you wonder, I wonder if there were two. Maybe I've already eaten one of them. I read a statistic somewhere. They have an estimate of how many insects you and I have actually eaten unawares. And you probably eaten a fly and didn't know it at some point in time. But flies, they're nothing. What is good about a fly? Is there any benefit of flies? I can't think of anything. Sir? Yeah, the birds eat them. I guess that's one. Frogs like flies. That's interesting. They're just annoying. And you probably had some time where it happens in church services, the pastor's preaching, and there's one fly in the whole auditorium, and he's right here. And you can't get rid of him, and he won't land, and you can't kill him, and you don't want to swipe at him and look silly and try to preach, and there's this fly. The devil sent that fly. I know he did. Flies are annoying. They're uncomfortable. They carry disease. Just nothing good about flies. And these folks are going to be covered with them. They were grievous, it says in verse 24. Grievous swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants. And there again, just think about sin. Once you let it in, it just gets everywhere, doesn't it? And what you thought in that sin was going to be pleasant or exciting suddenly becomes tragic and disastrous and annoying and continually bothersome. And all of a sudden you wish you'd have never touched it. Flies are bothersome, annoying, distracting, persistent. Sin's also that way. It won't go away. It annoys those who are bound by it, demands unwanted attention. The flies corrupted the land in verse 24. In other words, they made that land undesirable. We would not go out to the Salt Lake when the flies were out there. It just wasn't. We had a great little island called Antelope Island. It's not an island anymore. It's a peninsula now. And we'd go out there and camp, and the right time of year, it was beautiful. When the flies were there, you didn't go there. It made the thing. And sin in your life will make you undesirable to be around. And you know what I'm talking about, because there are people that you know that are consumed by sin and they're undesirable to be around. And it corrupts the land. It makes it unpleasant, uninhabitable. So now, let's see what happens here and we'll be done. Look at verse 25. So Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to the Lord, to your God." Now watch this. "Sacrifice to your God," the last three words are the catch, "in the land." Now Moses said, "It is not meet," that word meet means appropriate, "so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?" In other words, the Egyptians are going to understand what you need to understand, which is, we can't do that. You can't give God things of the world and expect to please him. And I could spend the rest of the hour on that, but let me just explain something to you. The Bible says we should be different. A church service is not a rock concert. It is not a bar scene. Hey, if you're willing to put out, I think it's about $15,000 on the table, I can turn that entire back wall into a solid LED display. We can show whatever you want back there. And we could have football back there, or we could have pictures of palm trees, or we could have animation. That's not what church is, amen? The world has got certain things that they are excited about. But folks, we're not here to please the world. We're here to please God. Now, what is Pharaoh saying? He says, okay, this is getting crazy. I can't handle the frogs, the lice, and now the flies. You can sacrifice to God, just don't leave. Listen, I'm almost done. This is very important. The devil doesn't mind it if you go to church, but he doesn't want you to leave the world. The devil doesn't mind it if you pray, if you read your Bible, but he doesn't want you to leave the world. You see, the world has got a lot of abomination in it. And it's entertainment, and it's music, and it's activities, and some of them are not bad. I can handle going to certain athletic event, maybe, or concerts of a good classical or whatever. But anyway, the point is, the world's got a lot of abomination out there, and the devil says, it's okay, yeah, go to church, call yourself a Christian, pray, read your Bible, just don't leave the world. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, there's three compromise offers that Pharaoh makes. This is the first one. I'll tell you the other two real quick. The second one, he's going to say to them, don't go too far. Okay, you can go sacrifice, but don't go too far. In other words, you just get a little ways away and then you can come back that way if you want to. Don't get too far from the world. And then the third one he says is, okay, you can go, but don't take your children. In other words, it's okay for you to serve God, but don't expect your children to serve God. So in all these compromise offers, what does Moses say? We're going to do it God's way. So now Pharaoh makes this compromise offer, and Moses explains why that's impossible. And so in verse 29, and we're going to finish up right on time here. Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Moses went out in verse 30. He entreated the Lord. The Lord did according to the word of Moses, remove the flies. And verse 32. Oh, there remained not one. I like that part. Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. I meant to mention to you, I didn't mean to skip over this verse on purpose, that there was a point there where the flies were not in. Oh, verse 22, it says, the land of Goshen would be severed and there would be no swarms of flies there. And just to remind you of something is that plague that's upon the Egyptians is not upon the Israelites. And it's interesting, you and I live in the same world. Sin has an effect on this world, But somehow God protects us from it. Amen? So, frogs, lice, and flies. None of that impressed Pharaoh. And you and I, you've seen it. You've seen people, and they've sinned. And that sin has become troublesome to them. It's gone places they didn't want it to go. It's made their life unpleasant. But they still won't turn back to God. And aren't you glad you turned to God? Amen? They're still trusting their false gods. Warning, and I'm done. If you have a false god in your life, whatever that is, and you want to trust in that, don't be surprised if God takes it away. To let you know he's God. Amen? Be careful who your God is. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Why did he say God of Jacob? It's not just any God. It's the very same God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. It's a certain God. It's the God of the Bible. He is his help. His hope is in the Lord his God. Don't hope in anything else this year except the Lord our God. Don't hope in circumstances. Don't hope in events. Don't hope in resources. Hope in the Lord. Amen? Let's all stand and be dismissed in prayer.